This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Day, you're cool. And the next day, you know who all the professional wrestlers are because you've been working with Jonathan Zaslow and James Steele for far too long. This is Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Zaslow is filling in for Ian tonight. At Zaslow Show is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. So it is Big Ten Media Days. That's where Ian is. He's been in Indianapolis, Indiana this week, and he's been sitting down with a whole bunch of people there at Big Ten Media Days. Miller Moss is the quarterback of USC. Now, he spent 3 years as USC's backup quarterback, two of those sitting behind the great Caleb Williams. And so that man did not throw many footballs whatsoever, as you can imagine, with the greatness that was sitting in front of him. He finally got his chance to take center stage with once Williams went ahead and opted out of the Holiday Bowl. It was Moss's turn to actually take center stage. And he didn't just make his first college start, Zaslow. He made history. The LA native threw for 372 yards on 33 attempts and a USC bowl record 6 touchdowns while leading the Trojans to a 42-28 season-ending win. It is that kid that they are going to be moving forward with this season. And so our very own Ian Fitzsimmons had an opportunity to sit down with quarterback Miller Moss. Here's some of that.
All right, Miller, we were just talking off air about the impact that you had in that quarterback room last year. You got Lincoln Riley. You got Caleb Williams. But you also have Cliff Kingsbury as your senior analyst, now OC for the Washington Commanders. What did you take, you know, in that limited time with that trio that you've absorbed and now ready to unleash week one in Vegas against LSU?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously a very, very unique trio to be able to spend a year around. It's something I'm really, really grateful for. I mean, people talk about Coach Riley and Caleb obviously a lot, but I mean, Cliff was as essential to my development as anyone in that room. I think being able to spend a year around him, obviously he's coached the position at the highest level. He coached Pat in college, and obviously spent time around Kyler as an MVP front runner, you know? So, I think the lessons he imparted to me, not only as a quarterback, but being able to handle life, playing the position and also not playing the position, will be invaluable to me going forward. And he's someone that I'll always be friends with and always be grateful for the time we spent together.
I love how you just drop a Pat, and that's Patrick Mahomes. For those of you keeping score at home, he's like, that's my boy. You know, I got no new K2.
Right? Yeah, that might have been a little too informal.
You're good. Just to stay with Kingsbury for a minute, what are the Washington Commanders getting with him as an OC, especially with the talent that Jaden Daniels brings? We'll get back to SC in a moment, but since we brought up Kingsbury, what are they getting?
Yeah, absolutely. I think without a doubt, very unique, special and gifted football mind, and also someone that's going to do an excellent job kind of molding the raw talent that Jaden possesses. I mean, Jaden trains out in California, so we spent a good amount of time together. We've talked we've talked about his kind of early time with Cliff. I know that they've really enjoyed it working together, and I'm sure they'll continue to do so. Cliff's a very easy guy to work with, but beyond that, he's super, super knowledgeable when it comes to football, and just being a coach, dealing with young men and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see what Jaden does in that system.
Miller Moss, quarterback USC, here with us on ESPN Radio. What is the number one thing you learned in facing the adversity that your squad had to deal with last year, especially with the lofty expectations, not just of your fan base, but of that brand?
I think there's a couple things. I think the first thing is that adversity is extremely revealing. So if you haven't done the work to be the team that you need to be and to have those relationships that you need to have, when adversity comes, in some sense of the matter, you'll fall apart a little bit. So I think the first thing is that adversity is revealing. And the second thing is that you need to do the groundwork to be able to brave that storm when it inevitably comes. Because throughout the course of a, whatever it is, 15-week season now, you're going to face ups and downs. And I think the manner in which you respond to that has nothing to do with the present moment at hand, but has everything to do with all the work that you did to build the team into having the identity that they need to have to respond to that.
OK, Okay, that's a grown-up answer. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive. But you are a grown-up. You could have left, man. I mean, you had you were already there for a year when Caleb came in into USC, transferring from Oklahoma. What made you stick, stay, and compete? Because, I mean, what the answer you just gave isn't one a first-year starter normally gives.
Yeah, I mean, my first spring with Caleb, we were the only two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. So we would go back and forth just going at it. Caleb me, Caleb me, Caleb me. And those were some of the most fun practices I've ever been a part of. And I think that, in a lot of ways, helped mold, like, who I am today and the player that I am today and the player that I will become. So, I mean, that first spring with Caleb and Coach Riley was really refreshing because I was having fun competing. I was having fun playing the position. I was having fun playing the game. And I think after that, it just became, okay, what's the right decision for me in my career at any given point? And in answering that question every single time, it was to stay and be developed by Coach Riley. And it wasn't like the guy I was sitting behind was, you know, some slouch. He's a pretty good player. And I think
he wasn't going to be a UDFA, right?
Yeah, no, definitely not. So I think that gave me, you know, some calm in doing so. But I don't want to give the impression that it was easy to do so. You know, like it was extremely frustrating at certain points. But if I didn't play on Saturday, I always came into that lift on Sunday pissed off and hungry to attack that lift. And it taught me a lot about, you know, getting the most out of practice environments, really embracing the competition in that setting. Because if you're not going to play on Saturday, you better take advantage of those practice environments on Tuesday and Wednesday when you're going good on good. So it definitely taught me a lot. It was frustrating at times, but at any given point, the right decision for me in my career was to stay and be developed by Coach Riley.
Carson Beck, starting quarterback at Georgia, gave a very similar answer. So where does that innate gene, that DNA come from when it comes to competition and not running from it, but running toward it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me that's never something I've consciously thought of, but in reflecting, like, I think it's something that was cultivated very early on. Like, one of the things that I love about football is the ability to compete and that what that brings out of you and what that reveals in you. Like, and like you said, some guys are about that and some guys aren't. And I think that's one of the greatest things for anyone to experience, to go out there with 110 guys with a common goal and go compete against someone else. I think that's really special, and I think it's even more special when you've gone through some stuff with the guys that you're going out there with, because that only makes you stronger.
Week one, it's a logo on a logo. SC LSU, our crew will be there on ESPN Radio in the desert. I'm only playing on one hand, and then I'm done, right? If I win it, I'll keep going. If I lose it, I'm getting my big bloated butt up and hitting the door. Well, what does an attention getter like that do for a program when you're coming off the bat against another logo type team in a powerhouse?
I think it's a couple of things. I think the first thing is that it sets a tone for the offseason, knowing that you have that, you don't ease into your schedule at all. Like you come, like you said, off the bat and you're playing another really good team. So I think it helps set the tone for the offseason. It focuses the team from January all the way through fall camp. That's the reason you come to USC. You know what I mean? You come to USC to play in games like that, to be in that type of environment, to have eyes on you, to play against other national brands. And I think everyone in our locker room understands that and embraces that. And I think if you have guys that embrace that type of moment, that embrace that kind of competition, as we said, will ultimately be successful, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, last one. Is there a chance, while you're the starting quarterback at USC, that you score so many times in a single game that Traveler is worn the hell out and can't come out and actually prance around the field?
Absolutely. I haven't thought of just knocking Traveler out, but now that you've
just fatigue, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now that you've brought that up, that's something we're chasing 100%.
Good to see you, Miller.
Yes, sir. Great to see you.
So again, that was Miller Moss, the quarterback of USC. His story is a pretty interesting one, Zaz, because this is a kid who spent 3 years in college, as I mentioned, as we were introing that bit with Ian Fitzsimmons, where he was the backup quarterback.
That never happens anymore.
The reason that never the reason that's interesting is because it never happens in the world of the transfer
portal. It used to be
portal.
So normal.
Yep. Not normal now. Now these kids can't wait to get out if they're not going to be starting right away. And I'm not even I'm not one of these that chastises that. But that's the reality. You very rarely see a kid who's a high caliber recruit just hang out for 3 years waiting for his turn.
I think it's probably going to be pretty easy for everyone there at SC to root for him, you know, because you can easily convince yourself, and it's probably the truth, that he loves USC and he wants to work hard and he wants to win at USC. I think he's going to be really easy to root for.
Yeah, he's very likable from that regard, and certainly harkens back to a different era in college football where kids hung in there and really earned their spot. And certainly Miller Moss has done that there at USC. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Zaslow's filling in for Ian tonight. Are the Dallas Cowboys missing a chance to tank this year? We'll get into that on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Untuckit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
That's going to be the one that resets the quarterback market. When that guy's got no conditions attached to his contract and he can't be franchised and he can't be transition tagged, Dak Prescott's going to get a deal north of $60 million a year.
I go into this season, I play it out, I hope that my regular season is exactly like last year's, and next year when he gets to free agency, either Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys will pay him, or there will be teams lined up.
Dak Prescott's going to get a deal north of $60 million a year. It might be more, way more.
So Amber, people are wondering,
like, do you remember when this was, like, really big?
Man, I had such a good segue there. I was going to be like, people are going to... Wait, never mind. Just go ahead. Do I remember when this song was... I was going to do something with the words of this song in Dallas, and I was trying to figure out a way to link the Cowboys into this song. People are trying to figure out what the Dallas Cowboys are going to do now. But yes, I remember when this song...
I thought it was more important to get your thoughts big on Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit.
I do remember when Limp Bizkit was at its height.
They were so big. They were
such
so
a big deal.
Big.
He was such a big deal. I remember the whole thing very well. You and I are the same, about the same age, Jonathan Zaslow.
That's right.
It might shock you
for
to
the
know.
People in the back. That's right. We
so
are
is
about
James
the
Steele.
Same age.
I have no doubt James Steele loved Limp Bizkit.
I still do. I'm going to see him on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Wow.
I mean, that shouldn't surprise me at all. But it doesn't. So is it still Fred Durst?
Yeah. It's the whole crew is together.
No, like they, no way.
Yeah,
no way.
100%.
It's the original band all
it's
together.
It's the original band. Yep.
Yeah. I got a hard time believing that.
I feel like James would be the authority on
this.
I saw them a couple years ago up here at the Mohegan Sun. What a show. They're so fun. Dude, they're so fun. They're ridiculous. They know they're ridiculous, and they're fun. And it's just a great time. And I've been, like, jonesing to see them again. They're touring. And I have a friend who lives in D.C. What's up, Carlos, if you're listening? And
yeah,
I'm
what's
going
up,
down
Carlos?
To visit him.
Hey, Carlos.
I'm going out to visit him. We're going to go see Creed on Friday. I'm off the show on Friday.
Wow, you were having a weekend.
Creed, three doors down and Finger gold. 11 on Friday. And then on Sunday, Limp Bizkit and whoever's with them. I don't know. I think Corey Feldman's band is with them. Like, they're ridiculous. They're touring with bands like that. They're ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm pumped.
Good for you.
Fred Durst is now 53 years old. And that, folks, is how you'll feel old when you start looking up the former rock stars and pop stars and heartthrobs.
DJ Lethal, John Otto.
All right.
All right, enough of this. So, the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of people are wondering what they're going to do in terms of paying their keep pieces. Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. It's all been a conversation all offseason long. But on Unsportsmanlike this morning, Canty and the crew floated out an idea of what Dallas should be doing, not worrying about paying people, but instead worrying about losing games. Are the Cowboys missing an opportunity to tank this year? Here's the Unsportsmanlike crew.
Are we going to look back at this year with the Dallas Cowboys and say they would have been better off tanking?
I can't say that with what the NFC looks like. There are a lot of teams that have a lot of promise, a lot of young quarterbacks that are up and coming. Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, just to name a couple. But
okay, wait, hold on. You just said something. Do you think the Niners are going to be better than the Cowboys this year?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think the Rams will be better than the Cowboys this year? Matthew Stafford contract situation has now been worked out.
Yes.
Are the Packers going to be better?
Yes.
Are the Lions going to be better?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're at four teams. Are there any other teams? Do you think the Eagles are going to be better?
Could be.
All right, so
I think the Eagles will win the division. If you ask me
okay,
to
then
pick,
yes.
If you ask
so
me
five.
To pick the team, I think the Eagles will win the NFC.
Okay. Do you think the Falcons will be better than the Cowboys?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay, so now we're at 5.5. Do you think the Bucks are going to be better than the Cowboys?
No.
Do you think the Seahawks could be better?
No.
Okay, so they are, in your mind, potentially the sixth best team in the NFC.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot, Zaslow, to unpack in that conversation.
Yeah, but you made a name for yourself last year loving the Cowboys. You jumped on the scene at the start of NFL season, making headlines all over the place defending the Cowboys.
Before the NFL season, I was convinced that the Cowboys were going to win that division and that they were going to be better than the Eagles. But that was more about me being convinced the Eagles were going to take a step back than Dallas take a step forward. And in fact, that's what ends up happening.
You're right.
Because the Eagles end up taking a step back. It's not so much that Dallas took a step forward. Dallas has had three 12-win seasons in a row.
Yeah, you can't take too many steps forward winning 12 games. I mean,
you can't go far forward than that. Like, there's not... Right, exactly. So we're talking about a team that has been good now year after year after year in the regular season. Postseason's a different conversation. I understand that they have sat on their hands in this offseason. I understand that we all have questions about what Jerry meant in terms of going all in. I understand McCarthy is on a lame duck contract and that everybody else wants to be paid. But when I'm looking at the team from a macro perspective, not paying attention to the contract language, but the actual just who's on the roster and who's going to be playing games, I'm not seeing this massive step back that the Cowboys should be taking, particularly if Dak Prescott does find himself in a contract year.
I don't get it. The idea that the Cowboys, that maybe they should have tanked this year instead of going about things the way they are. Have we ever said that about a team that had the most wins in the conference the previous year?
That won the division?
They had the most wins in the NFC. They had 12 wins. Two other teams also had 12. Detroit and San Francisco. Dallas had the most wins in the NFC last year. And they still have all of their key pieces. My biggest question with the Cowboys, Amber, and we'll never get this answer. Like, if Wonder Woman was in the Dallas Cowboys facility and she used the lasso of truth and she put it around Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, and because you're compelled to tell the truth when you have the lasso of truth wrapped around you. Everybody knows that, Amber Wilson. My question would be, are you surprised that these guys want their money? That's my biggest question to the Cowboys front office. Did this sneak up on you? You know, the way we talk about Hassan Reddick and the Jets, did they not know what was going to happen here? That Hassan Reddick wanted his money? That's a great question. I would ask the same question. If I had one question for the Dallas Cowboys, it would be, did this sneak up on you? Are you surprised that these guys want more money? Were you not aware of their contract statuses going into this season? We're never going to get an answer to it, though.
But I think that the answer to that should obviously be no, that they would should not and are not surprised. But I guess the flip side of that question is, should we be surprised that a team that continuously underperforms in the postseason with those pieces, with those now incredibly expensive pieces, as they all ask to be paid basically the highest at their position in the NFL? Certainly Micah wants to be paid the highest. Dak wants to be paid the highest. CD wants to be up there close to the highest. Even a Justin Jefferson's right above him. So are we surprised that a team that hasn't been able to perform in a postseason is trepidatious about having that many guys on its payroll as the highest paid, or extending a coach that hasn't gotten them over the hump? And by over the hump, I mean, you know, a playoff win against Green Bay this past season. I don't mean a Super Bowl.
Well, forget about the coach. Like, it's so much easier just to hit the reset button with the coach than it is those guys who we're talking about. Like, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with them eventually getting rid of Mike McCarthy. I don't think he's a very good football coach anyway. But the other guys, look, if we're talking about, do you want to keep, you know, banging your head against the wall with 12 wins every season and then flaming out in the postseason, or do you want to hit the reset button? I think it's really hard to win 12 games in the regular season on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I was going to say, the way you set that up made me feel like I'm supposed to not bang my head against the wall, but 12 wins sounds pretty damn good.
I'm going to bang my head against the wall and hope that eventually I break the wall.
That's the point, right? Because when are you going to get, if you hit the reset button and you tank, like unsportsmanlike is suggesting, when the hell are you getting back to 12 wins again? You're already there. You got to take the step forward. You can't take 50 steps back. Coming up next, big deal, not a big deal, right here on ESPN Radio.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams, because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Hold in my hand. We got a lot of 90s music going on tonight here on Amber and Ian. Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. Very fitting if you know Jonathan Zaslow. He's kind of like James Steele, our producer on this show. They have a lot of things in common. Both of them met all the music that they liked during like a 5-year span.
Yeah, but this isn't my music that he's playing. This is
No, I'm not suggesting you guys like the same music. I'm just suggesting that both of you have that thing. Yeah. That apparently, actually, I've looked it up with psychology. It apparently applies to men more often than women. Apparently,
is that
it's
right?
Like an actual thing with men.
Yeah, it's
where
a
there's
thing.
This like 10-year period of a man's life when he's relatively young, like teens, early 20s. He discovers everything he likes, and then that's it.
If I find something that I like, I'm good. I found all the music that I like in the early 90s. I don't need to add anything to my catalog. I'm good to go. I have so much music that I like that I'm never sitting around saying, wow, I just listened to everything I like. No, there's a lot more where that came from. I don't need to add to it. I'm good.
But there's not a lot more where that came from. There's a finite amount because you gave yourself the parameters of a few year span in the 90s. Like, that's it. That's all the music.
I got a bunch of bands who have a bunch of albums that I really love. I mean, Pearl Jam, Led Zeppelin at the very top, those two. I know they're two different time periods. You don't have to question me. That's all I need.
That's too much logic. Led Zeppelin technically had a type before you were even alive, so I don't know.
But in that time period was when I found Led Zeppelin as well. So it's like, oh, wow, they got 10 albums? Great. I'm good to go. Like, I like what I like. I found all the things I need.
Everything was that was available to you when you were 12 years old.
That's right.
So it is said. So it is done.
You want to try and make the case that someone's better than Led Zeppelin? You want to make that case? I found the greatest. I'm good to go.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah, same with me. I found, maybe like 5 years later, I found my bands and I'm good.
And you're good.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. Pretty much. That's how it works around here.
Yeah, exclusively. Yeah, I would say that. Although I will say that
one band that you go to see all the time, like that's a newer band. That's like the one exception.
Cold?
To
no. They were my friends Cold. They are, they were like late 90s, early 2000s.
They've been around for a while. Yeah. They're still from the James Steele era of enjoying music.
That's what
music
I said. I found my
nothing.
Music. I'm good. I got them.
No
I
new friends after that.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
right.
Like a male
Those
thing,
are friends
apparently.
Also. I got enough friends. I got a few. I can count them all in one hand. I'm good to go. I don't need to add to that list. I'm perfectly happy. Meet new people.
No new friends.
Make new friends. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, overrated.
I got what I need.
Pretty overrated for sure.
So you can find more of that from Zaslow at Zaslow Show. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's find out what is a big deal and what's not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hi. Yeah. Josiah was playing Three Doors Down because this is the theme of the stuff that I'm seeing this weekend. He's being a very good producer over there, so don't question it. The NBA signed its 11-year media rights deal with Disney, NBC, and Amazon Prime Video on Wednesday after saying it was not accepting Warner Brothers Discovery's $1.8 billion per year offer to continue its long-time relationship with the league. The media rights deals were approved by the league's board of governors last week and will bring the league about $76 billion over those 11 years. WBD had 5 days to match part of those deals, and it was exercising its right to do so, but its offer was not considered a true match by the NBA. That means the 2024-25 season will be the last for TNT. After a nearly four-decade run, TNT, not happy, had a release on Twitter saying that they didn't think the NBA was acting appropriately on that. It's legal stuff. I'm sure you're itching to talk about it. So, Amber, big deal, not a big deal, this NBA TNT thing that's happening.
What it means is that there will be lawyers, and it is a big deal. And it's really an interesting deal because I have no idea how this is going to go, and I couldn't possibly know it without seeing the contractual language between these two parties. But I'm under the impression, from what I read, that TNT had a right to match, which is a pretty standard clause in a contract, right, which would give you the ability to match any other offers that you receive. And so TNT felt like it exercised its right to match in terms of the Amazon component of this, which is the $1.8 billion component, said, fine, we'll match Amazon's deal, so you have to give us the same rights that Amazon would be receiving. And I guess the NBA is saying, nah, playa, we don't consider that the same thing because this other deal over here, I feel like they're treating as a package deal with this trio, saying you'd have to match like the whole thing for this matching clause to be applicable. I don't know if that's what's happening. I'm just guessing. That's the lawyer in me. So TNT is saying no, and now we're going to see in court. That's what's going to end up happening. There's going to be lawsuits flying all over the place. We'll see how this ends up panning out, because at the end of the day, again, without seeing the contractual language, I have no idea who has a more viable argument, but I was surprised that with an ability to match, if in fact they do have a right to match in that contract, that when TNT came up to the plate and said, we're going to match, even if it's a small piece of the pie, that the NBA was so quick to vote against it. This is going to get interesting. Now, the other component of this, Zaz, too, is I wonder if this is a bit of TNT saving face, because there was a lot of backlash, also because people love Inside the NBA on TNT. And I do wonder a little bit, is this a TNT being super committed to truly matching the rights and continuing its relationship with the NBA? Or does TNT want to give us the impression that it has tried everything and now the big bad wolf is actually the NBA itself and not TNT for getting rid of our beloved show?
See, those two explanations that you just gave, I think, are both very plausible. But I think the second one is a really good point. Because remember, there was backlash from TNT where they, you know, David Zaslav, who runs, not to be confused with Jonathan Zaslow, David Zaslav,
it's
who,
very similar,
you know, is in charge there of WBD, said
something. They call him Zaz as well?
I don't know. Listen, I got fives on that name. That's my name. I got fives on that. There's one.
He's got a lot more fives than you, judging off of his position in life. Nevertheless, go ahead.
And he said something to the effect of TNT doesn't need the NBA. And there was some backlash there. I mean, heck, Charles Barkley has come out and has been pretty vocal about the higher-ups there at TNT. Doesn't like the way it went down. So I think there is a very reasonable chance that this is kind of a safe-face kind of move. It's like, no, we do want you, and you know, we're going to have the public kind of feel like we did everything in our power and the NBA is bad. The part that's really interesting to me, though, is, you know, because TNT said they're going to fight, WBD said they're going to fight it at the highest level, so I would assume they're going to go to court, so be lawyers involved in that whole deal. But that's a weird one, right? Because they're going to go to court, they're going to sue their current partner, still their partner for the next year, they're going to sue their partner to force them to continue to be their partner. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Can you imagine? You're getting divorced, all right? You're married to someone. My wife wants to divorce me. I take her to court to force her to stay married to me. That's weird, right?
I mean, I'm not going to get into all that because yes, there's some places we could go with the whole divorce thing. Nevertheless, it's not that weird in business, Zaslow, because the reality is in business, this happens. This happens all the time. And people sue each other and then stay in business together. And we'll see if it works here with TNT and the NBA. I think that the broader point here, though, is that TNT is trying to, quote unquote, match a very small piece of this pie. And the reality of that situation is that TNT is not in a position, or seemingly so, doesn't want to be in a position, I don't think, to match the larger piece of this pie at all. I mean, they're trying to match the smallest piece, and the smallest piece of this pie seems to be the deal that Amazon would be getting that would have given them an NBA game on Thursday nights after Amazon has Thursday night football, and then, you know, a game or two on the weekend kind of thing. So not the same broad scope that you're seeing from the other networks that are involved in this deal. I'm very interested to see from a legal perspective where this thing goes. By the way, Zaz, the Warner Brothers Discovery, Zaz, is the CEO of all of Warner Brothers Discovery, not just TNT. And then this Zaz is just hanging out here.
I'm the CEO of all of this right here in the Zaslow Mansion,
all right,
which has us on equal footing.
Yeah, it's pretty equal, I would say. So on Monday, Brian Windhorst was on SportsCenter, and he told SportsCenter that, quote, "I think Team USA is going to be playing Serbia without Kevin Durant. Steve Kerr met with him today," which was Monday, "and they decided he needs more time with that strained calf." And I would presume that that upset Kevin Durant, because his manager and business partner, Rich Kleiman, on Twitter suggested Brian Windhorst, quote, "start reporting only the facts," after his SportsCenter hit, deleted those posts. Big deal, not a big deal, Zaz. Kevin Durant seems like he's pretty mad at Brian Windhorst.
Well, I think it's a big deal because, you know, Kevin Durant's business partner is essentially calling Brian Windhorst a liar. And, well, we're going to learn, you know, they're going to play that game. And if Kevin Durant doesn't play, which I don't expect him to play, A, my opinion, B, because Brian Windhorst kind of knows a thing or two. He's not normally the one to throw you-know-what against the wall and see if it sticks. So we're going to learn. And I'm looking forward to Kevin Durant not playing in that game and then saying, look, what are you going to say now? Like, you deleted that previous tweet. Seems like you probably got to say something now, because I don't know if you're aware of this, Amber. You could delete the tweet, but sometimes people get screen grabs and you could still see what they said before they delete it. That happens every now and then.
It's evergreen, baby. And this one is evergreen. I mean, there's even articles in the New York Post about this thing. So yeah, certainly he made a splash with going after Brian Windhorst. Can I ask you a question? What does it matter if Windy said KD is likely not to be available to play?
Right, like we're going to find out either game. He will play or he won't play. We're going to find out.
Say Wendy's making it up, right? He's just out here willy-nilly one day, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to throw all journalistic integrity to the side and bulk against all my connections here in the NBA. I'm just going to go out on a limb and just guess KD's not going to play against Serbia. And then what happens? And then Kevin Durant does play against Serbia, and what? Like, I guess I don't understand why Kleiman was so offended by the notion that he wouldn't play. I mean, he didn't say KD was going to do something awful. He said KD may not be available to play yet.
Right. How dare you?
He hasn't
practiced yet. How dare you say that he's probably not going to play in a game?
Stick to the facts, buddy.
I have one more real quick. I'm sure Amber won't like it. For one night only, the Joliet Slammers, a Frontier Baseball League team, will transform into the Joliet Slimers, celebrating the team's new ownership, which includes Dr. Peter Venkman himself,
nice.
Bill Murray.
Nice.
Dubbed Ghostbusters Night, the Slimers will take the field against the Gateway Grizzlies this Thursday. That's tomorrow, July 25th, sporting specialty slime-drenched jerseys that pay homage to the iconic franchise. Amber, nice. Big deal, not a big deal. The Joliet Slammers become the Joliet Slimers for one night only.
I was waiting for, it was going to end up being one of three things with James Steele. It was either going to be a Ghostbusters reference, a wrestling reference, or a Kansas City Chiefs reference. And we landed on the first one, Jonathan Zaslow. Overall, not a big deal, but a cool deal. I have no problem, actually, with these little promotions that these clubs do. I think it's fun.
I'm going not a big deal unless at the concession stands they're going to actually sell Ecto Cooler. If they're going to sell Ecto Cooler, that means you're all in. Then I'll change it to big deal.
There's a brewery up here in Connecticut, and every around October they make an Ecto Cooler beer, and
Beautiful.
It is phenomenal.
Beautiful.
I'll make sure I'll grab you a couple. So next time you're up here, slide them
your
way.
That's a good job out of you.
I really. Have you seen these jerseys, though? Beautiful, and I really want one,
I
think they're like auctioning them off, and I don't have any money, so.
I'm not sure beautiful is how you would describe
them.
They're
so cool.
Coming up next.
They're like slime. They look like slime.
You really think there's this high of a demand for those jerseys that you wouldn't be able to acquire
one? You don't know Ghostbuster fans like I know Ghostbuster fans.
You know
I'm
what?
A lot of money for action.
You know
figures.
What, James?
I think
you're
she's
right.
Proud not to.
And I'm okay with it. Coming up next here.
You're one of us. Don't
deny on Amber and Ian. Speaking of terrible things, Peter Burns released his best fast food restaurants list. Our colleague here at ESPN Radio, and it left a lot to be desired. We'll get into that next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPOD for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPOD and use code ESPNPOD at checkout.
Today I fired up the old Twitter. And I follow our colleague and friend Peter Burns.
Yeah, I like Peter Burns.
Good guy, Peter Burns. Terrible taste in fast food restaurants, but good guy. And he had tweeted out his top 10 fast food restaurants and said, it's the most perfect ranker I have ever done.
That is I love correct, a good list.
That is a direct quote there from Peter Burns. And so I had screen grabbed it early this morning, tweeted it to our group chat here for the show, and I just wrote July because... That's what we do in July around here, right? You got to find the content. And this gives us the content, Jonathan Zaslow. So first, I want to thank Peter Burns before we rip him to shreds, because this is an atrocious list.
It's a but little bit of a vomit, this list, I have to admit.
Before we even get into this list of top 10 fast food restaurants, James Steele, when he was re-looking at this list before we went into this segment on commercial break, James Steele discovered a massive controversy regarding this list that nobody seems to have picked up on. I'm even going through Twitter comments. Haven't seen anybody point this out.
I'm worried I'm not in on a joke or something. I don't know. Is this like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing? Because this most perfect ranker that Peter Burns has ever done of a top 10 fast food restaurants list has two number threes.
Yeah,
number three.
11. restaurants on the list.
And no one seems to have corrected him on noticed. Twitter either. Like, I went and I looked at the comments, you know, and no one's pointing it out. It's weird.
He hasn't corrected himself. So I agree with James. The first place that my mind always goes now is what joke am I not in on, or what trend am I not in on, where I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be like the elder millennial that's like, oh, you goober, because Gen Z has some funny thing about putting two number threes, you know? So you're always careful about doing that sort of thing. But the reality is, either way, he's got two number threes. Here's the list. Raising Cane's number one on his list. Sonic, number two. Chick-fil-A and Panda Express, number three.
The old third place tie. Yeah.
Whataburger, four. Popeyes, five. Arby's, six. Burger King, seventh. Starbucks, eighth. Jack Box, so I assume that's Jack in the Box, nine. And good McDonald's, 10. Where do you begin, Jonathan Toth?
Oh, well, okay, I got a few thoughts here. All right, number one, for McDonald's at number 10 is obviously low. Like, McDonald's is the, whether you love their food or not, McDonald's is the premier all-time fast food place.
Oh, gee,
but that doesn't mean they need to be number one. I think number 10 is a little bit low, but here's the thing. For Burger King to be ahead of McDonald's, I just got to drop a truth bomb on you here, all right? And this isn't even necessarily comparing the food at McDonald's to Burger King, but if there's a McDonald's on one side of the road and there's a Burger King on the other side of the road, which happens all the time, there's always a line for the drive-thru at McDonald's, and there's never anyone at Burger King. So how is Burger King ranked ahead of McDonald's? That's my first thought right there.
It's atrocious. I haven't eaten at a Burger King since high school. I got food poisoning from a Burger King. It was a massive meat recall that we heard about the next day after I got super sick. Burger King is not on my list.
The second thing I will tell you here, Amber Wilson, is Starbucks at number eight. Starbucks is not a fast food joint. That has no business being on the list.
It's my kind of fast food. I tend to agree. It's not where my mind would go when we're talking fast food restaurants. Now, if Starbucks is allowed to be included in fast food, then it's very obviously number one on the list. And that's its rightful place. But fast food, I think, is a stretch for Starbucks. I'll give you that. Now, there is a drive-thru, which to me is normally what designates a fast food restaurant. There has to be a drive-thru involved.
No.
Which, by the way, he's got Panda Express here at number three. Are there drive-thrus at Panda Express?
It doesn't have to have a drive-thru. I mean, when I go to CVS to pick up my medication, I go through the drive-thru. Is CVS fast food? No. No.
Well, it has to have a drive-thru and serve food. And Starbucks does serve food, which is why he has it on this list. But it's still a stretch.
I have one more thing that I got to point out here, which is probably the most egregious part of this list. A list which, by the way, is apparently perfect, but contains dual number threes. All right,
it's an 11 list of a top 10.
My biggest problem with this list is, where the hell is Wendy's? Can somebody show me where Wendy's is?
That's
Can
your favorite.
Somebody point
Big
out
facts.
To me where Wendy's is? Wendy's, not only should it be number one, but to not have it on the list, Peter Burns, I got a question. Where's Wendy's?
I mean, it should not be number one. It shouldn't be close to number one, but you have always loved yourself from some Wendy's. I mean, really, Wendy's is there for the spicy chicken sandwich, and that's about it.
Give me the number five. What are we doing here?
The Frosties are pretty good.
Baconator,
the fries.
Baconator's
pretty good.
Baconator's good.
I've never had a Baconator. I don't think it was.
They have the best nuggets out of the
Nuggets,
three.
The chili, the fries.
Spicy nuggets?
The burgers. Come on. The girl with the pigtails.
I've never even eaten at a Raising Cane's, which is his number one.
That's the most egregious one out of all of this, I think, is Raising Cane's. All they got is the sauce. That's it. I have no idea.
I
don't think I've ever eaten at Raising Cane's either.
I know nothing about Raising Cane's. Whataburger, don't they have those like tiny little stringy fries at Whataburger?
Is
Whataburger
Little
Burgers?
I've never eaten one.
I think little Whataburger's like little burgers and they're super greasy. Isn't that Whataburger? Or am I confusing?
I just
it
can't
with
take
else?
This list serious, Amber, without Wendy's.
It's not a very good list.
Peter.
Wendy's
what are
has
you
to
doing?
Be on there. It has to be on there.
Peter,
I've also never eaten. Well, it doesn't have to. I mean, I disagree. Y'all's affection for Wendy's is a little strong.